When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce. Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, Deuce and Moe, the podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Moe podcast. We are back. And King season is right around the corner. The preseason tipped off tonight in Sacramento for the Kings, one of the final teams in the league to play a preseason game. They welcomed in a familiar foe. The Golden State Warriors came to town, and it was DeMar DeRozan's debut. There is so much to go over in this first preseason game that actually ended up being a Kings loss, 122 to 112. We'll go over some of the key moments and talk all about it. Morgan Reagan, what's up?
I know you said, you're like, you won this game, who cares? But do you think if the Kings had won this game, we'd be like,
no.
Okay.
I there's one thing I will be consistent on.
Yeah.
I do not care about preseason wins and losses. It doesn't matter. How the Kings do last preseason?
I don't remember.
Thank you. Okay. How did they do it before that?
Couldn't tell you.
I don't know. I don't know what they, okay. Did they win? Did they lose?
No one
remembers. No bearing. I'm looking for, how are things flowing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you see? Oh, is there a young player that maybe popped to you? You know, what's DeMar DeRozan look like? I'm looking at those type of things, not the end result.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. And that is what preseason basketball is pretty much for.
Well, let's just start with this. DeMar DeRozan's first preseason game with the Sacramento Kings. And what more can you say? The guy's as advertised. He's just a bucket. I mean, immediately they go into a DHO. He hits a mid-range shot. He came out and in the first half scored 15 points for Sacramento. He did not miss a shot. He was 6 of 6.
So seeing DeMar DeRozan in a Sacramento Kings jersey, like not just taking photos at media day,
Yeah. There's
just something different about it. First, also, before the game, being on the court, like I've been around DeMar DeRozan, you know, Yeah. A few times, but seeing him compared to other NBA players and being like, oh, him and Draymond next to each other. And it's like, wait, he's just as big
Yeah. And
bigger this way, I feel like, in like a strength looking way. And it was not surprising to me, but it was just something that I don't know. It's again, once you acquire a new player to the team that you cover or root for, you just notice a few different things, or if you just see it live and see it in person. And that's what I felt. And then obviously seeing him in that Kings jersey in action, that was fun.
I thought the other thing that jumped out to me about him, you talk about just like his size. You're right. When you stand next to Draymond, I'm like, he's just as big as the guy.
Yeah.
And he defended him tonight too at times. But it was also just how many players were going up to him before a game. Like, the refs are dapping him up. Every, like, coach that he sees on an opposing team.
Yep.
Like, he has such great respect around the league. And I'm like, dude, it's just cool to see. It's like, this guy plays for the Kings now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the part about Yeah. It that's so cool. And so, yeah, going back to his game on the floor, Deuce, you know, how many times we've talked about the Kings just needing that one extra killer. Who else is going to get you
He's
a bucket
nasty,
when you need it? And it's like, you're just seeing everything that has always been talked about with this man and at this age, and just his game seems to be just truly aging like fine wine.
It's all the things people talk about. Like, he just plays at his own pace, right?
Yes.
He doesn't panic. And, you know, he had had a comment the other day at practice. I had asked him about like the DHO game, the dribble handoff game with Sabonis, and just how it's going. And he's like, well, it's unguardable. And I was like, okay. Seems kind of crazy to say. But you see it in action. You're like, yeah, it's pretty tough when you look at the other weapons around them. Of course, if it was just DeMar and Sabonis with a bunch of turds, it probably wouldn't look that good. But when you have an offense where you're running a DHO with DeMar and Sabonis, Sabonis is obviously already a threat, not only as a screener, but as a roller, just a big dude in his decision-making, all that. But then you have someone like De'Aaron Fox who is cutting. And so the defense has got to react. They can't lose sight of De'Aaron Fox, who's got a tremendous amount of speed and athleticism and can finish at the rim. And they got Sabonis to worry about. Then you got shooting around with Keon and Keegan. Oh, by the way, you give DeMar enough space, he's going to knock down that jumper. And so there's just so many elements out of that dribble handoff game with him and Sabonis that could just be deadly. And you saw it tonight. Like, they ran it, and it worked out great. DeMar had just enough space, knocked down his shot. Like, he loves the mid-range shot, has no problem taking it. He had a corner three tonight, too. He had one mid-range shot from the corner. I loved it. It was a late shot clock. And how many times I saw last year the Kings maybe panic with, like, shot clock winding down. Who's going to get a good shot? Patience. He's got, like, ball fakes. That, boom. Knocks it in.
That, but then also when you do look at his mid-range shot, and a shot that has been talked about around the league for quite some time, especially as the game kept evolving to be more of live or die by the three-pointer. And DeMar...
Warriors sure lived tonight by the three.
Yeah, they...
28 of 52? Shitola,
man. We'll get to that.
I know.
But DeMar, he's always stayed true to himself in his identity as a player, I feel like, and has respected the game enough to also make sure to add that to his game. You know, you talk about last year, him shooting the most threes in his career. But then when you look at his mid-range shot, like, you just understand why that's such a valuable shot for this human being and why that can be such a valuable shot to an offense, especially when it is shot as efficient as it is with him.
Yeah, and I know some talk has been about spacing, but, like, with DeMar, you have to guard DeMar. You can't give him the space. There was actually one play in the first half. Our buddy King's Film Room clipped a play, too, to talk about it, and King's Film Room, like, can name every single, like, action there is.
Yeah.
It's insane. He's like, oh, it's their twirl action. Well, you had a play in which Sabonis gets the ball at the elbow. Then you've got Keegan and Keon on the opposite elbow setting staggered screens for Keon Ellis. Keon goes in between the screens to cut. Then Fox kind of flares up like he's going to maybe pop out for three, but instead kind of shoves Podziemski into Keegan and then cuts. Sabonis finds him. You notice I've not mentioned DeMar yet, right? Because DeMar's chilling in the corner with Steph Curry hugged up against him. You have all the spacing. Mm-hmm. You've got movement. You've got spacing. And this Kings offense tonight was all just read and react. Now, a lot of NBA offenses aren't, like, calling plays every time down. But the Kings, Mike Brown said before the game, like, we don't have any plays. This is just them reacting tonight. And it looked pretty good. But everyone talked about the spacing. On that particular play, I'm like, it's not an issue. You have to guard him. You're not going to leave DeMar uncovered.
Yes. And, I mean, you have a lot of smart players out there that understand even the spacing. Like, you talk about that action right there. And what that leaves is a lot of open space, let's say, down by the block, like in the paint, right? Yep. And what did we see a lot of times happen with the freedom of that open space? You saw guys cutting through or trying to get that back door or just saying, hey, Sabonis, lob it up. Sabonis looking like Caitlin Clark out there leading his teammates with a different type of pass that I feel like we didn't even see last year.
Yeah, the high lob to Keegan. He got him twice on that.
And he got McDaniels too. And it was, it was just one of those things where sometimes I'm like, oh shit, he's throwing that one into traffic. But because he has the finesse and the IQ and the understanding of his teammate, it was like, no, I know what I'm doing. And I feel like that is another thing that is going to become more and more dangerous, I guess, with this Kings offense.
Just having DeMar to this lineup. I think taking a step back, looking at this preseason game as a whole, I thought the offense from the starters looked great. They look like pretty comfortable, and they weren't knocking down threes. Uh-huh. Hell, they scored 68 points in the first half. They were up 68-66, and that was in a first half in which the Warriors knocked down 15 of 27 from three, and the Kings had the lead. And so it felt like the Kings were manufacturing some good offense, getting some good looks. They missed some good looks from three, too. But I'm looking at, are they generating that shit? And they are, and it's because they've got a ton of weapons out there, from DeMar to Keegan to Fox. And then you throw in someone like Keon, who can, he showed he could put the ball on the floor, but he could also hit the three.
He looked way more confident,
too. It just looks like a dynamic ass offense.
Yeah. And I mean, just it going to Keon, like, I think I said that to you on the way here. I was just like, he just looks like he belongs. Like, we can, obviously, we're talking about the Kings offense right now. And then you go to the defensive end, and it's just like, another element that's, it's not like their defense was amazing or anything.
No, obviously.
Couldn't defend a three, but like, there's still something more to it when you just look at him as an individual and then what he's doing on the floor with the NBA experience he now has under his belt. There's something, I want to mention. We keep talking about their offense. They looked so fast in the beginning of that game, the way that they were pushing them. And then the Warriors were like, no, we're pushing the shit back on them, you know, like trying to, obviously, which was a smart move. But the Kings just, they would end a play, you know, you'd see Sabonis either grab the rebound, outlet it, or grab the rebound, push it up the floor. And then our favorite play, I think, was when he grabbed the rebound, pushed it up the floor, stop, pop, mid-range.
From the free throw line. He pushed, stopped, and popped from the free throw line. Sabonis tonight, and it's an area we're all looking at, is like, okay, is he going to take the mid-range shots more often? And not just the short mid-range. Is he going to step out to like 19 feet and knock down a shot? Tonight, he took 4 mid-range shots in his time.
Yeah.
3 of 4 from the mid-range. He had that sick-ass dunk, too, on a Draymond, where he kind of bullied Draymond's ass.
What'd he do?
Get off me and dumped on his shit. Sabonis ended up, he played 17 minutes. He was 5 of 7, 11 points. He had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. He did not take a 3 in this game. But that's something that we're going to be watching, too. Because, you know, the other day, I asked Mike Brown after practice. I'm like, ideally, where do you want Sabonis to be from a 3-point perspective? You know, he shot it at a decent rate last year in terms of efficiency, like 37-38%, but he took like 1 a game, and he said he wants him to take 3 to 5 a game.
Yep.
I'd be surprised if Sabonis got the 5, but I think he can increase that. But he also needs to just increase the mid-range game. And I thought tonight he was decisive. There are sometimes, and you know, that first playoff series against the Warriors, we all remember, where like he was hesitating. There was no hesitation from him in this game tonight.
It was quick. It was confident. It was even better than what we saw last year. Because I think we heard the rumblings like, oh, he's worked on it so much. And you saw his shot that was being worked on. Absolutely. You look at the mechanics, everything. But then the mechanics from what we just saw in this game alone, I just felt like it was much quicker. It was in rhythm, you know, whether it was him pushing it in transition or him just feeling good and confident and not, no hezzies, as Mike Brown likes to say. And what that can do, again, for this offense, and then just making him a threat from right there and allowing him to even have a pump fake and go by whoever's in front of him. It just feels like it's going to be a lot of fun. I know the Kings weren't making a lot of threes, but 7 of 27. One of the threes that really stood out to me was when Malik Monk got on the floor, and it was deep. That deep three that he had. So it was really nice to see Malik out there as well.
Yeah, Malik ended up leaving this game. He played less than 10 minutes. He left the game due to personal reasons. Mike Brown said after the game that he wouldn't be surprised if Malik was back at practice.
Yeah.
So just hope everything's going okay with Malik. But it was cool. He got a huge ovation tonight when he checked into the game. He finished with 13 points in his 9 minutes and 44 seconds, 4 of 7 shooting. He was 1 of 2 from downtown in the game. But it's great. You know, I just remember at the end of last season being in New Orleans, seeing them get their asses handed to them in the play-in without Malik out there. And you're like, oh, well, Malik's probably gone. And here you are. 6 months later, Malik is still here. They added DeMar freaking DeRozan. Are you shitting me?
It's pretty cool.
So, like, there was a lot of good elements tonight. And I know we're kind of just kind of rapid fire here going over some stuff.
I mean, it's preseason. Yeah.
Keegan Murray for a second. Keegan Murray's defense, like, the Kings' defense as a whole tonight was not very good. They had some stretches with the starters where they locked in, but I felt like they could have played a little more physical. There's some miscommunication. There was also one play, you know, Mason Jones comes into the game off the bench, one of the first subs off the bench, and, you know, he goes under on a Buddy Hield shot.
Like, uh-huh.
You get screened. You can't go under that. Yep. Like, you give Buddy space, and you just, the communication was off. I thought McDaniels had a play, too, where he lost track of Buddy Hield. Buddy's wide open. Three ball, bang. So those things can get cleaned up. But my point being, Keegan Murray's defense, dude. This guy just brings it. I think I counted three deflections in the first quarter for Keegan. He might have had four in the first half. Unofficial Deuce Mason statistic, but go with it. Go tell all your friends. He had four deflections in the first half, I think.
I heard it on the Deuce and Mo podcast.
But how about
what?
That sequence where he's on the perimeter defending Steph. And think about Keegan Murray's rookie year.
Mm.
When Steph saw him in the playoffs and was like, I'm hunting that guy. I'm hunting Keegan Murray. Fast forward a year and a half later, Keegan Murray on the perimeter, bumping him, being physical. Maybe got away with the foul. I don't give a shit. Play physical.
I don't give a get into shit.
Him. And then keeps him contained. Steph isn't giving up. He's trying to take him down baseline. Keegan is locking him up. Had him in cuffs. Standing ovation from the crowd at Golden One Center.
The crowd was going nuts.
And Steph had to give up the ball. He finally, I can't do this anymore.
That's what he said. He said that while he was giving up the ball to someone in the corner. Man. Might have been Moody. I don't know who it was. But then they shot, missed the three. And then they got to push at the other end. And then when they pushed at the other end, it went up to De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox gets an and one. Crowd goes even more wild. And I'm like, this is preseason basketball.
Tough moment for Steph there, because I think he was the one that fouled De'Aaron.
Oh, really? So then that's hilarious. But going back to exactly what you're saying, though, Keegan Murray, stopping Steph Curry in that? I know it's in that one possession that we are specifically looking at, but this is with Steph Curry, who is a wizard with the basketball.
He's a warrior, but yeah.
A magician with the basketball. Not in Orlando. Oh, is that where you're going to go? You get what I'm saying about Steph Curry. And he can push the ball in front of him, grab it, get it with that push dribble, find a way to get around a defender. Amazing. But we've heard about this with Keegan Murray. We've seen it with Keegan Murray. And now we've seen it grow even more with Keegan Murray when it comes to his perimeter defense. And in that moment alone, it was just like, yes, this is the type of shit we are going to see this year, especially on one of the best players in the league. It's great.
Yeah. And he has shown now he can defend guards. And I think he's ready to tackle even more this year. He is all defensive team potential in this league. And seeing him play with a little more physicality, there's a couple plays offensively I loved from him. One in, I think it was the first quarter, he had that hesitation drive on Looney.
Oh, God.
Yes. Looney, by the way, shout out to this guy. He's in much better. He lost a lot of weight. He's trying to be a little more nimble. He wants to shoot threes this year.
Ooh.
He wants to be able to play. And, you know, he's not playing a lot last year. But Keegan destroyed him.
And as you would. Well, actually, you know why I say as you would expect, but we've seen Looney play some decent defense, especially in that range,
kind of
right?
It's
not like it was all the way up on the perimeter. And it's like, he had Looney's body turning one way. And he just went, other way.
He also had another play late in the second quarter where he had like a jab step, like kind of leaned into GP2. Like,
okay.
Got physical with him, like bumped him to create space and hit a mid-range shot.
Dude, he's being more aggressive. I mean, this is exactly what he said he wanted to be. I know it's one preseason game, but you're just seeing it right away. And it's nice to see him be more aggressive, be more assertive with the basketball and finding new ways of scoring and not just standing there and looking for a catch and shoot three.
Other stuff that came out, jumped out. Mike Brown's made a huge point offensive rebounding and like having guys crash. They have different zones on the floor where they crash from, and he wants his team to go get offensive rebounds. Mm-hmm. Go get your hand on a ball. And I think there's some thought that like, well, that could hurt your transition defense. The Kings did a little bit last year, the crashing very consistently, making sure to try to get offensive rebounds, and it did not hurt their transition defense. So they're kind of doubling down this year to make sure to do that. Something that I guess Monty McNair suggested to Mike Brown 2 years ago, and Mike has kind of dabbled with it. Now he's leaning into this.
Yeah.
So tonight, Sacramento ended up having 8 offensive rebounds, and they won the second chance battle 16-0. So that's a good number.
That's a great number. I mean, how many times, too, you talk about Mike Brown talking about the offensive rebounds, but also just talking about the little things and how important the little things are. It doesn't matter if you are the last person on the bench or you are a starter. It's making sure you're getting those hustle plays, making sure you're talking on defense, making sure you're getting the offensive rebounds. And you want to see it here in preseason, especially when you do have someone like DeMar DeRozan talking about not even having an off day yet under Mike Brown with this training camp, right?
I mean, they had one off day. Yeah. Brown puts in work, man. Mike's going to make him work, and I'm cool with it.
Yep.
And DeMar doesn't back down from that either. That's what's awesome about DeMar is, like, he wants that.
Time to work.
And the guy was, what, did he lead the league in minutes last year? Him and Sabonis were like 1-2 in the league in minutes per game last year. So he loves being out there and playing and working hard. But where is it going, though? You were talking
about... You're in preseason form.
I am in preseason form. We're just chilling, man.
Oh, dude, I know.
De'Aaron Fox tonight. What do you think of De'Aaron?
Oh, I thought that guy.
I think offensively he had some great moments. He missed a couple of threes. He was 0 for 2 from 3, but
I thought like on Pajemski, he had this one layup that was like Pajemski must have used his body or do something well maybe defensively and kind of pushed De'Aaron out further. And De'Aaron had this left-handed high off the glass kind of layup where even though it was fading away from the basket and not going into him, it was just like the confidence of being like, oh yeah, no, this can also be my shot. This is something I practice. This is something I definitely can do, especially against someone who might be a little bit smaller. So I thought De'Aaron looked fast as hell. And again, it was great. I thought the first few possessions, they looked a little stagnant on offense, or it was like maybe one or two possessions early on where it was like they were trying to make sure everyone was moving and then there wasn't enough people moving and he just made something happen and went to the basket. And I was just like, yep, that's what's going to have to happen.
So did anything happen tonight that made you go, oh shit, this team's going to be really, really good? Or you feel the same after seeing what you saw? Are you surprised by anything you saw tonight?
You know, when Domas Sabonis was traded to the Sacramento Kings and I saw him out there on the floor for the first time, I remember texting you and being like, holy shit, like this man's majestic. Mm-hmm. It's like a unicorn out here. This is amazing. Seeing DeMar shoot from the mid-range in a Kings jersey, I don't know why it felt different. Maybe because I was like more aware and really focused on what he was going to be doing tonight. It made me excited. I'm not going to act like it brought me to a new level of expectations for this team. Like I still have that rational thought in my head about what other teams are going to either do in the West and or surprise people in the West, you know, that have also, or individuals that have also been working on their game this summer.
I know we're not going to look at a box score and see that the Kings shoot just 27 threes all the time because, you know, they were shooting so many threes last year.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many times we'd come on after and go, God, man, felt like they were settling a little bit. It felt like they were just chucking. It's like, yeah, but hey, they're big. They let it fly. They let it fly. I think one of the things that encouraged me in that first half tonight watching the starters, it seemed like all the shots that they were getting were good ones. And it wasn't just launching a shit ton of threes. They didn't launch a ton of threes in the first half. And you even look at tonight, they attempt 27. The Warriors made 28. The Kings attempted 27.
Yeah.
And obviously, in this league, you have to make three-pointers.
You have to.
But
Look who won the game.
I think what my point is, I think the Kings have... they have a little more to their offense now. Like, I don't think they just have to rely on just, like, knocking down threes.
Live and dying by the three.
No, dude, kind of embrace the fact that you have a guy in De'Aaron Fox who can get to the rim, but he can also hit mid-range. And embrace the fact that DeMar DeRozan is a mid-range guy, and he can knock him down at an elite rate. Embrace the fact that Keegan Murray took a huge step in the mid-range last year. It doesn't mean you ignore the three. Right, you take threes.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to take 35 threes again. I get all that, but make sure you're getting good looks and having that balance. I think is a good thing because I think it makes it it makes it more challenging to defend. One, but
more
also
fun to play
in late game situations. Like I like the fact that you can look around and go, that guy can go get me a bucket. It doesn't have to just be hitting a three. This guy can go get to the free throw line.
And you know, like that guy can go get me a bucket. It's not about. Yeah. Four flat. Okay, yeah. We're running ISO. It's more about, there's more structure to it. There's more freedom to be out there, but you better be doing something. You better not just be standing there. You know, you got to make sure you're active in one way or another with some sort of action. And yeah, I think, again, as we see this evolve in the first 15, 20 games, that it could be offensively, I feel like it could be something special.
Now let's hear from DeMar DeRozan after this one. This is from our buddy Sean Cunningham.
No problem. What did just that feel like? You had the ovation that they gave you when you got here in July, but this one probably felt a little different.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't never take any moment being able to play in this league for granted. You know, I work my butt off, and just to be appreciated, to be wanted somewhere. It always feels good, especially as a competitor. So to get that, you know, reception, knowing it was just preseason, was definitely cool.
As things were clicking for you guys, it seemed like it was a big smile on your face. You hit your first four shots, you hit 6-6. What was in that early going where it just looked like you were having so much fun?
Yeah, I mean, we've been working extremely hard all week, man. It's been a long week of just constantly, you know, beating each other up, pushing, competing. Trying to learn, you know, I know for me, learning offense, trying to make it easier on myself and easier on other guys. So, you know, that's just a credit of just how hard we've been working and get out there, finally go against somebody else. You know, it felt a lot easier in comparison of, you know, us beating up each other.
Any nerves?
I was kind of nervous, more so I think was just anxious, you know, especially, you know, the reality, like, you know, even driving to the arena today, you know, it was first time, first feeling, everything kind of new, new routine of everything, and you know, stepping into a new arena, you know, so it was kind of good nerves, but you know, I was more so excited.
Did it feel smooth out there? It looked really smooth.
No, it felt real smooth, you know, and that's a good sign because we still got so much we need to clean up and build on. You know, I'm pretty sure I'll watch film tomorrow, work on stuff, and continue to, you know, clean everything up. You know, I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Defensively, giving up 28 threes when you come into this as you know, a new addition to this team. Typically, in the past, 3-point defense has been a struggle for this team. How can you guys get better?
Yeah, communication. We got to be more aggressive, understanding what teams like to do and take away their comfort zone. You know, and you know, that's absolutely, you know, too many threes to give up. They was already in a rhythm. You know, teams like that, if you give them, you know, a quarter or two to catch fire, it's hard to shut it off. So just being more communicative and aggressive, you know, from the gate.
Did you feel, I mean, you go 6-6 like that, does that even kind of exceed maybe the expectations you had to play in this first half?
Nah, I mean, I worked my butt off this summer, man, more than ever, you know, and coming into this training camp, working my butt off, but I just wanted to come ready where, you know, guys could count on me, just go out there and compete, you know, so it wasn't surprising anything for me. I worked my butt off every single day, you know, so, you know, it just felt good just to get out there and play.
I asked you about that ovation. I mean, can you get a sense of just how much you kind of mean to this fan base?
Man, I mean, not yet, and it's crazy. Like I said, to be appreciated and accepted somewhere so early without even playing a real game yet, you know, it speaks volumes of, you know, just, you know, my career and how much that speaks for itself, and, you know, hopefully the person that I am. And, you know, I just want to build on that and bring that same type of aura that I have to the team.
Bring that aura, huh?
I love him.
Already?
I know.
We haven't played a regular season game yet.
You know what's fun about it, too? It's like he says the right things, but he means it.
Yeah, what do you love about him so much, though?
There's something, I don't want to say, I'm trying to think of the right word. Yeah. I don't want to say underrated, but I think in some ways, like having a guy like Domas Sabonis, who you and I have had plenty of conversations with other people about how we feel like he's underrated. If you just look at his numbers alone, he's not a star because he's not flashy or right. Like in someone's face or something. I don't know, whatever. And I feel like with DeMar, like over the years, he's always been a name in this league, but I think at times, like underappreciated maybe is the word I'm looking for. And that's how I feel ever since he's been in Sacramento and just talked to the media. I'm like, when you get that type of human being acquired to your team that you cover or that you root for, like, it's just a breath of fresh air. It is so, and I say a breath of fresh air because I know so many other teams that have to deal with either a cancer on their squad or used to have to deal with someone that was like that. And I never take this for granted. I'm so appreciative.
Yeah. And he's got the talent. Seems like a great dude. Humble.
Yeah.
Just hearing him say, I've worked even harder this offseason.
Yep.
Like, he's motivated too. And I think for so long in Sacramento, it's like, okay, you couldn't really attract a free agent. If you got a name, it's like, oh, you got someone like Vince Carter who, like, oh, we all love Vince. Vinsanity.
Sure.
We grew up. It's like, yeah, but hey, he's like 40 something now. And he's just here to be like kind of a voice,
yes,
right? For
yes.
A young group. And hopefully that rubs off on some guys, yep. Right? Where like DeMar can still play. And I also have to go, DeMar's looking around going, yeah, I'm being added and the people are looking at me like, oh, I can help take this team to another level.
Yeah.
But he's looking around going, De'Aaron Fox,
yep.
Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, Malik Monk.
The amount of respect that's going around for one another as players.
He sees like a huge opportunity here. Mm-hmm. And I think he like when he says like, oh, I think the Kings can go to the Western Conference Finals. I think he means it. I don't think it's like he's trying to get a pop from the crowd or
no.
Like he has that belief in this team. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I just think offensively they're going to be disgusting this year in a good way. I just think they've got the balance. They've got Keegan who can, I think, light it up, of course.
But yep.
He gets some great looks this year, but he's expanded his game. I'm excited to see what he shows off in the mid-range, in the post, seeing what DeMar DeRozan can do and has done in the NBA for so long.
Yeah.
And then De'Aaron Fox, who just averaged 26 a game last
That's
year.
That's it. I think in every aspect of life too, just kind of going off of what you're saying, it's like if you have the right personalities, attitude, characteristics of, human beings, whatever, and plus talent, that can take you so much further in so many different ways in life. And as a team, work, sports, whatever. Family doesn't matter. Like, you can just achieve so much more together when you have all those things together. And I feel like that's what we're kind of getting here. And so now you go to the talent side of things and it is exciting. And then we've been talking about the starting five. You go down the bench. I know right now, it's not what it needs to look like.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I can't even. Like, I've seen some people in the chat. Love you, Chatter. Shout out to nearly 500 people hanging out with us live on a Wednesday night for a preseason game. So you guys badass. Are the best. And some people are like, oh, the bench is bad. Our bench is a problem. Well, I mean, it is right now. If this was opening night and the Kings were getting ready to embark on like a 6-game road trip, I'd be like, yeah, they're very thin right now.
They're hurt.
But, Kevin Huerter is inching closer. Is he going to be ready opening night? Probably not. But can Trey Lyles start getting Boom. There? Can McLaughlin be there? Like, if you all of a sudden add McLaughlin to the fold and you add Trey back in there and you have Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk,
like, yeah,
That's some legit, that's some decent depth right there. So yeah, they're missing a lot of firepower from the bench right now, but I also in some ways think it's good that others are getting an opportunity here in the preseason to like show what they can do, because we're going to be talking about someone named Isaac Jones tonight that I'm not sure many Kings fans, unless you're super hardcore, like paid attention to. He's an undrafted guy who's on a two-way contract who played summer league ball with the Sacramento Kings, and he did some things tonight that made you think. We got to talk about that. But first, can we give some love to some new show sponsors?
Yeah!
I'm really excited about this. First of all, when we partner with places, we want to partner with places we believe in, and we love partnering with cool local spots. Our newest one, Mother. You have to check out Mother downtown Sacramento, Morgan Reagan.
Okay, so I've been posting about Mother all day long because every single Kings game throughout the season, you guys, you can go pregame with your mother. Now, I hope you all like your mother, but if you don't, you can go to this Mother and pregame there, and they have the best food, and you get 50% off all drinks. And I mean, talk about getting giddy. I love this place, and I've always loved this place. So when they reached out to us about having a partnership, it made me so excited because I hope you all experience all the joy that this food brings to me. Or did I say that right?
You said it right.
I hope that you experience that same type of joy that the food has brought to me over the years.
Well, they've received many local national awards, including a Michelin bib. You have to check them out. Support local quality food. These people are Sacramentans to their core.
Yep.
And they're located in the heart of Midtown, 2319 K Street. There's a lot of stuff in that area. It's a perfect spot to go before a game, of course, but it's also a perfect spot to go on a weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Nighttime. Anytime. Check out Mother Restaurant. That's mothersacramento.com. How about another new partner, Morgan Reagan?
Yeah.
Woo!
Hey!
Golden One Credit Union!
We are one.
We are one. We are one. That's why they've set to create a bright financial future for all Californians. Kings fans, this one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. If you join today, you enjoy exclusive Kings perks, Morgan, like up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal.
Yeah, that's not it, though. I mean, you saw even in tonight's game, a preseason game, you see Fresh saying, "Hey, everybody, hold up your Golden One credit union cards." Yeah. And someone way up in the nosebleeds holds up their card and then gets better seats just for being a Golden One Credit Union member. So make sure you guys saw the QR code on there. You sign up today. And if you have more questions, you can also reach out to us.
Yeah, you also get 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. The chance to win courtside and lower bowl seat upgrades when you wave your Golden One card at select games, like you just mentioned. That includes club access, behind the scenes tours, Kings warm-up matchups, post-game free throw on the court, food and beverage discounts on member Monday games.
What?
That's how you win as one.
One!
Become a member at GoldenOne.com.
I like the dramatic one.
Shout out to Golden One Credit Union.
Thank you, guys.
In Sacramento. Morgan, who would be your player of the game?
Okay, I'm going to go with a Kings player, and let's go with DeMar DeRozan, his debut.
You know what? That's not even fair.
What?
It has to be a little bigger than that.
The
simply the best player of the game, presented by, yes, they are back, Northwest Exteriors.
Hell yeah.
Are simply the best player of the game tonight. DeMar DeRozan.
Oh.
15 points, 6 of 6 shooting, a block, an assist in 16 minutes. He did not even have to play in the second half, Morgan Reagan.
I mean, you look at the stats, great, everything. But again, it was just his presence being out there on the floor. He's definitely simply the best player of the game tonight.
Yeah, and shout out to our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. They've got so many deals going on. You can have a window system that fits your home, your life, your style. How about this deal?
What?
Northwest Exteriors bundle and save sales event. Northwest Exteriors is offering 7 windows plus a patio door for only $8,995 plus 100% financing on credit approval. That's amazing. That offer expires November 3rd. But that's not all. They also do HVAC, Morgan. And can I just tell you?
Tell us. Tell us. I know exactly where you're going to go with
new
this.
New HVAC here at the Deuce and Mo Studios. Saved a lot of money. And all of a sudden, it's nice.
Crisp.
Yeah, and I know in October it's crazy to say that, but like
you had it
to worry about that. And so if you need one, that's a good place to go through. But they can also service for you. Get your heater AC tuned up for just $49.
$49?
Wow. Yes. So check out northwestexteriors.com. They're local. They're awesome. If you need windows, you need HVAC. They do it all.
This whole studio now is Northwest Exteriors approved because it has the windows keeping in the cool air from the HVAC system. But I'm also excited for it to get freezing because then we get to see what the heater is going to be like as well.
Well, you have to check them out because we all know they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Oh, so good to have them back.
Love that jingle.
Appreciate everyone's support at the Deuce and Mo podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Morgan, let's talk King's Bench for a second. We briefly hit on it before we did our spot here.
Okay.
Obviously, the Kings are shorthanded. No Kevin Huerter.
Uh-huh.
No Trey Lyles. No Jordan McLaughlin. No Devin Carter. Orlando Robinson, who Mike Brown said had been playing well during camp, he's out too. So you're down 5 guys. Kings tonight played everybody. We mentioned Malik Monk. They also saw Jalen McDaniels, Mason Jones, Alex Len, Isaac Jones, Colby Jones, Boogie Ellis, Scal Labissiere, Isaiah Crawford, Terry Taylor, and Broderick Thomas. All of the members of the Kings who are available did play today. On the bright spot,
what?
Isaac Jones.
Oh, yeah. So that guy, that one.
We had heard right before camp that, like, hey, in these workouts that they've been doing over the summer, like, he's showing some growth, and they like what he can bring. 6'8", he's got a 7'3 wingspan. So you think about just measurements, you go, yeah, that sounds like a perfect guy that this Kings team could use. Now, is he raw out there? He doesn't shoot threes. At least he didn't in college. Well, guess during training camp, like, he's been knocking down some threes now. He's rebounding well. I thought tonight he showed a lot of good things for the Sacramento Kings.
I agree. Like, I thought, like, his feel for the game, it looked like it's already taken a leap from what we saw in summer league. And that alone just shows, like, he listens to instruction and takes it all in, but then actually puts in the work to execute what is being taught, and whether that it goes into his shot and or to him just being out there. It's not this big chaotic body for someone who doesn't have that NBA experience. And for having that big old body, it's like you said, it's something you definitely want to see on the roster. Now, I take a step back because I don't want to get too excited.
He's on a two-way contract. He's an undrafted player. Like, let's be realistic too.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
I think what I saw from him tonight, on that first defensive play he had.
The verticality.
Side, the weak side block he had on De'Anthony Melton, who was going to go jam it on somebody's head, and he came over and helped. He had a couple of blocks tonight. I thought he had nice, soft touch underneath. He made some good decisions to passing. Yeah. Like, I was really impressed with what I saw.
Yeah. No. I agree. You know what's so funny? There's this part of me that always gets not worried, but I'm like, okay, who does Mike Brown like this year? Because each year it feels like he kind of has that guy that he hopes can be that guy for him.
Like Kasiak Paulo was his first year. Last year, in the beginning, Chris Duarte.
Yes. And what I appreciate about Mike Brown is that he sees something in a guy and he wants to give him the opportunity and the chances that they deserve if they're putting in the work behind the scenes, which you, if you know Mike Brown, like that is exactly what these guys are showing at practices, at training camp and everything. So yeah, I think with Jones, it's just a matter of time to see how his game keeps developing, especially with whatever is going to come of this. But being that big body within this system for the Sacramento Kings, especially if he's developing with the G League team or whatever it may be, I like it.
He's a great opportunity right now, though.
I know.
With Trey being gone and the fact that the Kings need someone that can go up and contest a shot, someone with some length, and he has that, and he's worked on his body a little bit. I'm intrigued by his talent, and I think there is something there. I mean, some of his post moves tonight, there was one where he felt the double team come, and he allowed it to come, and
yeah, like,
did a great job finding the open man for an easy bucket. It felt like he had decent feel, hit a jumper.
Yeah.
Active defensively.
I'm with you. I totally get it. It's one of those things, like you just think about how we also saw him playing against the G Leaguers Golden State Warriors too. So I try not to get too excited because I also do love his story and I want to see it all from him.
You're right on some of that late, but he also did get first half run.
Absolutely. He did. He did. I just like don't get too excited about
Morgan Reagan. All I'm saying is I'm intrigued by this. I didn't say, hey, man, I'm telling you, man, this guy can start and play 37 minutes a night. I'm just saying when you're looking at, you're trying to find spots, things in a preseason game, you go, you know what? This guy showed a little something tonight. And I can guarantee you Mike Brown's watching tape tonight going, I like what I saw from Isaac Jones.
I'm just making sure that you're...
I'm not getting crazy at all.
I don't think you're being crazy. I'm just saying that I know that you can be crazy. You can get a little excited about.
Go ahead. What?
You can get a little excited about hope. I've seen that with you over the years. And then you literally ask the question like 10 games in and am I crazy? Am I da da da? And we get this whole deuce antic that we get every year, fifth season of post-game podcast. And it's like, I'm ready for it. And I'm with you with all those things that we talked about, the specifics of what he did well out there against even the first half run that he got. But I also just take a step back and I do think about this league as a whole, what it would look like against some other teams and players. And I just want to be rational about it. That's all.
And look, it's going to be crazy when they retire his jersey in 10 years. That 17 gets, you know.
And I love him and I love his story. And I hope he gets all these opportunities.
It's an awesome story. Yeah. And he seems like a really good person too. Yeah. Like,
agreed.
For those who don't know his story, so he went an unusual route, like multiple college, went like the JUCO route. But out of high school, like he didn't play basketball for the first year and a half. Apparently his buddy was trying out for a JUCO team. They said, well, if you come out, you need to bring someone that's like 6'8". And so his buddy went and got him and said, come try out, come play. He ends up playing and then works his way up, ends up eventually at Washington State last year. Had a really good year at Washington State. And it seems like his game keeps developing. And then the whole draft process was great for him too, because he did the G League pre-draft camp.
Yeah.
Played well enough there. It led him getting invited to the draft combine. And then now here he is on a two-way deal with Sacramento. And I've said this to Morgan before. You can't just dismiss two-way deals anymore. In fact, one guy that was in the starting lineup tonight, Keon Ellis.
Hell yeah.
Started as a two-way contract. In fact, he was a two-way guy last year before getting converted to a guaranteed deal.
And obviously with someone like Isaac Jones, Mike Brown sees something in his game that excites him to be developed under the Kings umbrella. And I think that's exciting alone, because you're exactly right. The people that learn quick, do the little things, and know how to execute the little things in their role, you see, you can find those opportunities.
Any other things that jump out to you from tonight? I've got a couple more.
What's yours?
Jalen McDaniels could not buy a shot, man. He struggled with his shot in the NBA, really, especially last year from three. He was 0 for 4 from downtown tonight.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Kendra's, yeah.
Oh, let me grab her.
Kendra Andrews. Yeah, I thought Jalen, there were a couple plays, I'm like, oh, active defensively, but then there were just like, that one play where he lost Buddy and Buddy freed up for three, and then he just was unable to knock down shots. But he's a guy that's going to get an opportunity to see what he can do in the preseason. So we'll see what it looks like the next, you know, what, four games you have left. Mason Jones got a good opportunity. I felt like he was a little chaotic early. Mason was a little wild. He picked up four fouls, I think, in like 7 minutes, and Brown just like left him out there. He ends up playing 17 minutes, hit a couple of threes, but he has worked really hard on his body. So it's been fun to see his evolution. So,
who is that?
Mason Jones.
Oh, yeah. Those moments that he has where he's still chaotic, did you kind of talk about that? It's funny because he's worked so hard to not have those moments. And I think about him throughout his years in the G that we've called his games, seen his games and everything. I mean, he's matured a lot. And you hope that him having these opportunities, he can really just keep learning and keep getting better.
Colby Jones, we haven't seen a lot of him.
Nope.
He ends up being in there late in the game, played 16 minutes. He was 1 of 6. And I'm trying to figure out where Colby kind of fits in with this team. I mean, I feel like if you're a guard right now, it's like, where do you fit in?
Like, yeah.
I mean, there's just, you, good luck. You're playing when Herter's back, he's playing. You got Monk, you got Fox, you got Keon, you got DeRozan, you got Jordan McLaughlin.
It's tough. It's got to be tough. And because I know the goal is never to be like, well, you know, I can have another really good year in the G and then see where things go from there. Like, you kind of had a taste of some of these moments where you were given these opportunities. And now, like, just as the years change, as the offseason changes, the roster changes and everything, yeah, opportunities are going to change. And it's tough. I mean, there's so much I like about him, but I wonder if it's kind of gotten maybe even to his confidence too.
I'm sure it has. I mean, and we saw it a little bit in summer league when he had a game where he struggled a little bit. It's tough. It's a numbers game at some point. You have to, when you're out there, you have to produce. What do you think Bruce and Joe are doing on the Warriors night chat right now?
I'm just gonna say it. They're fucking stoked. They had 28 threes.
Look, who needs Clay? Dude, I'm sorry. Buddy Hield.
Yes.
Buddy's just better. Buddy is just a better player than Clay Thompson. 8 of 9, 6 of 7 from three. Like, I mean, you started looking at it last year. Draymond missed 25 games. We didn't even need Wiggins tonight.
Your Bruce and Joe podcast, really good.
Bruce and Joe, we tell you what you know.
You know, I would be excited about even seeing Buddy Hield in his game out there. I thought he looked smooth. His threes
looked
good.
Don't get sucked in.
I know.
Warriors fans, I'm just going to tell you, just don't get sucked in, man.
Don't. Yeah.
Pacers fans did it to themselves. Sixers fans, dude, a little bit, but not that much. Buddy, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the two guard spot with the Warriors, right? You're replacing Clay, and there's some candidates. You got De'Anthony Melton, Bajemski, and Hield. Buddy's going to have games like this. Even watching some of the Buddy's threes that he hit tonight, he had a couple on DeRozan. I'm just like, I don't know what DeRozan's supposed to do. Like, these were contested. He makes shots sometimes. He can get hot.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened tonight.
And that's why if I'm a Warriors fan, I don't care. It's not even about being totally sucked into that. It's truly about being excited that someone else can shoot the basketball. Now you can go to the other antics that come along with it, like the lack of defense, sure, or some of the mistakes that you will see along the way. But I always, like, there's always this weird thing with me too that I go, well, maybe if Buddy's under the right coaching staff or under the with the right organization, his game will mature even a little bit more. Even if he doesn't mature as a person, whatever, I don't know. I'm just saying there could be some change. And I think there's a lot of positivity with Indiana that we did see. Not defensively.
Golden State, 28 of 52 from three. Perspective for a second. 28 made threes. The NBA record in a game, in a game, is 29 made threes. Now, none of these records count. Golden State's previous record in a game, in a regular season game, was 27 made threes. They made 28 threes tonight. Buddy, 6 of 7. Melton, 4 of 9. You, even Slow-Mo hit one. Curry, 3 of 6. Kuminga, 4 of 7.
Yep.
2 of 4 for Pajemski, and then Draymond, 2 of 3.
Uh-huh. Crazy. Everyone. A 3 for everyone. And, you know, at first I was like, well, everyone's making their 3s. But it was triggering knowing that the Kings' 3-point defense hasn't been good.
Right.
And, you know, that question was asked to DeMar in the locker room tonight, even after the game, like, how does that change? And he basically was like, we just need to communicate more. And I believe in that. I believe that there is a way that the Kings defense can be better along the perimeter with teams that do shoot a lot of threes. But at nights like this too, you're just going to see some guys have some really good shooting nights.
It was insane.
It was.
It was an absurd night. Yeah, literally everyone with the Warriors was making threes tonight.
Yeah.
Who didn't make one that attempted one? A Quinn Post attempted one late in the game. He played the final 2.5. He was 0 for 1.
What an idiot.
Guy Santos 0 for 1.
Burr.
Oh, he sucks.
Yeah.
But everyone else who attempted a three tonight for the Warriors made a three.
Damn.
28 of 52.
Congratulations to them and those. Well, and you mentioned this. You text me this at the half. You're like they've made, you know, 15 threes at this point, or 12 or 15, whatever it was, and they're still down.
Yeah.
How are you still down? And I was like, that's a good point.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I mean, overall, I think when I looked at this game too, I was like, oh, what am I going to take away? You know, like, what am I really going to be looking at? And defensively, I wasn't, pleased? But I also wasn't, like, I'm not scared.
No. Again, they can play. But I'm actually interested to see what, like, Friday looks like. These two teams play again Friday in San Francisco. Now it's like, okay, is Steph playing in that game? I would think they still want to play some of these guys. The Kings are going to play their guys.
Yeah.
You know, Mike's going to play the starters, at least a half, you would think.
Yeah.
So it would be good to just kind of see what it looks like. Like, is there better on ball pressure? Are they playing more physical? Just what's the 3-point discrepancy look like on Friday?
Oh, it's going to be a tough matchup on Friday.
I'm not just saying the things to watch. I want to see Jalen McDaniels. Like, Jalen McDaniels had a rough night tonight, and he's someone that you go again from a position standpoint, you like, you could use someone that has that type of length and athleticism, but like, he's, if he is going to like be able to crack this rotation,
yep,
he's gotta like bare minimum be completely locked in defensively and like making sure when he does contest, like contest the right way like they want him to. It's good that he felt comfortable taking the three, but like, also, you know, don't be afraid to like put the ball on the floor either and create something. He had one like nice move at the basket late, but other than that, there wasn't a lot there from McDaniels.
One other name I don't know if we actually mentioned when talking about the bench or the depth, and I mean, he's going to still be out for a while, but Devin Carter too.
Yep.
Like, that's enough. Yep. Like, that's why, like, when you see people maybe being like, well, what are they going to do about the bench? It's like, no, they're there. They're just all beat up right now.
Let's get some to some people in the chat. Shout out to over 500 people watching us live. If you have not done it yet, and I've been so bad at reminding you guys, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. That should be at like 400 thumbs up right now. All it does is help our channel grow. Anyway, Larry says the halftime three stats Mo just mentioned is why I'm excited. It took that level of completion just to stay with us. That's fair.
Yeah. No, that's, hey, always throwing out the positives, huh?
That's fair. But also guard it a little better.
But make me feel better.
PK says, Ellis may be the biggest question. I don't think he's a question at all. I mean, he goes out there, he plays his ass off defensively, and you know he's just got to go in there and knock down some open shots. He ends up playing 14 minutes in this one. Keon Ellis, wow, that's interesting.
What?
He had 4 assists. That's same amount as Sabonis.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Same amount as Domas, and Domas would have had more if.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like, I don't know what that, yeah, I liked Keon out there.
Saw 9 says the best moment was Keegan locking up Curry.
Aw.
Absolutely.
I think that was so fun, not only because it was happening, and I feel like 2 possessions before that, De'Aaron did something with Curry, and then Curry lost the ball out of bounds.
He knocked the ball off of Curry.
Yeah. That was great.
Boosty says, Juice, what do you think? What did you think of Mason Jones today? That was a little chaotic early. He knocked down a couple of threes. He banked one in. That was pretty funny.
That was deep.
Just needs to settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't rush it, okay? And I don't know if it was just he's so excited about the opportunity to go out there and play with some of those starters that he's like, I got to make an impression. He's feeling the vibes playing in front of the crowd. It's like, hey, just like play your game. Like,
Channel that energy.
You have a good feel. Like, don't try to do too much out there because what you need to do, especially, and it's not just Mason Jones, it's really any of those guys that may not be in the rotation come regular season, is if you want to make some sort of statement, it's about getting some stops, rebounding, making the right decisions, taking the right shots. And
literally
defending without fouling and not making mistakes defensively.
Wow,
right?
You cracked the code, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I just... right.
Named every single thing.
You know, tonight he had some tough matchups. Like Mike let him be on Steph a little bit, and that was tough. And he picked up some fouls. I think I mentioned this earlier. He had 4 fouls in 7 minutes.
Yep.
But I was looking, and Mike did not take him out. It was like, no, man, go play. Learn. Go figure out a way to play. This is the preseason. I want to see how you deal with the fact that you're picking up fouls and you played 7 minutes. Are you going to fight and play through it? Well, he ended up lasting out there. He did foul out in 17 minutes, but, you know, I like that he was out there and kept going.
I agree. I'm totally, again, it's about those learning moments and actually being in those situations so you can learn from it.
John Mark Van Ness says, are you worried about the bench depth?
John Mark Van Ness, we already kind of talked about this, and everyone's banged up right now. We talked Kevin Herter, Trey Lyles, Jordan McLaughlin, Devin Carter,
Orlando Robinson. There's 5.
Yeah.
There's 5.
There you go.
Not worried about it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, worried about it in the beginning of the season, I guess, but you know, when as people start coming on back, especially because you're not getting a lot of time with them on the floor in training camp and everything to really just build that chemistry, but you'll figure it out.
Let's see here. Gave him props for a pass, but says nothing about Keegan. Sometimes I make a mistake by reading the chat, and that's on me. I shouldn't have read
it. It's okay. We're in preseason form.
I'm in preseason mode right now. Yeah. It's been a minute. Deuce is learning. My bad. Why did I read the live chat?
You would have been so mad at me.
We do need to mention we have got some new merch, though.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, we dropped it today or this week. It's our Ball is Life t-shirt. Okay, by the way, how cute is this?
It's our Ball is Life line. Oh, but this specifically, our Ball is Life tee.
Yeah. How cute is this?
It's so cute.
Just go to deuceandmo.com, click on merch, and if you use our promo code Ball is Life this week, you will save
15%
off. That's deuceandmo.com. You click on merch. Yeah, we've got shirts. We got crew necks. We got hoodies. We got stuff for
your
kids. Look at
the creepy little kids.
Look at this creepy kid model.
Oh, yeah. Wait, go to... Oh, Jesus.
Who is this kid?
Oh, God.
Okay, that's a joke. It's a joke.
Even if it's your kid, I'm joking.
It's a joke.
I'm joking.
We also have discounts on our other stuff too, including last year's Shut Up and Light the Beam shirt that's out there as well. Get it all at deuceandmo.com. Click on merch.
Thank you guys okay. so much.
Next up for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
Friday night, they play the Golden State Warriors, and they're back home on Sunday when they take on the Blazers. Is there something specific you're looking forward nope. to in this next game? Is there something you want to see different?
Nope, because you don't know how much first the starters are going yeah. to actually be playing. I don't want to see anything different. I just want to see the next game. You know, I just want to see how things come together in the next game. Maybe Isaac Jones, you know, that would be someone that I'm just going to keep looking at. Because I do think there's a lot of love for him and I think it's valid. I just want to see as he keeps growing.
How about not allowing 28 made threes from the Warriors? Would that be cool?
That's a good one. Actually, let's see how they adjust their three-point defense.
In the chat, don't the schedule makers get tired of Kings Warriors? You know, in the preseason, I don't mind them playing like twice a row because like in the preseason, do you want your team traveling all over the country? Like just play the teams in your area. The Kings play, Portland, Golden State,
Utah
and the Clippers. So you're kind of staying pretty close.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Lakers, because of renovations at Crypto, they are not playing one home game. It's like, oh, whatever. They're playing in Vegas. They played in Palm Springs a couple of times. They're playing in Phoenix, I think. But LeBron's bitching today because they have to fly to Milwaukee for a preseason game. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'd hate that too. You got to fly all the way across the country for a preseason game?
How far? What's that flight?
I mean, I don't know. 4 hours, 5 hours? I don't know.
That's not that bad.
It's preseason. Why do you want to put that type of mileage on people?
I get it.
Okay. Really?
I mean, we drive back and forth to San Francisco. One time to San Francisco. One NBC show is a four-hour drive. Get me a private jet. You know what I'm saying? Why are we putting the miles on me, huh? Because I love it.
Morgan is calling LeBron soft.
No. I would never go on a broadcast and talk shit about LeBron James.
People in the chat are clowning that. I actually agree. I have other things I want in the preseason. Four games max.
Oh, the deuces rules. Deuces rules.
Four games max.
Okay.
10-minute quarters.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Like tonight, you know what I saw on the NBA?
Oh, no.
Tonight?
What'd you see?
On the NBA's Twitter account. Let's see if I can dig it up. I thought it was like a joke. I honestly thought they were like making a funny joke here.
Very curious what we're going to see.
Jack McVay buzzer beater to send it to overtime.
No.
Who's Jack McVay?
Yeah, who is that?
You got distracted. It's fine.
And I did.
Just go. What's Kendra want?
No, it's a long story. She says she's going home.
Oh. Right now?
That's what I was saying. I love that he's like, oh, now I can talk about it. But yes, I did actually see that, and I was distracted in that moment. But when I did see it, I didn't care who it was. I just saw a buzzer beater, and I was like, that's cool. It was fun. So yeah, that's preseason basketball, and then we get to talk about the 28 three-pointers made by the Golden State Warriors. That's preseason basketball. So hopefully we're just not talking about that Friday.
Adios, Kendra Andrews.
Oh, bye.
Yeah. She has to go to Warriors practice really early. So, anyway. Yeah, great points, Morgan. I'm sure you nailed it.
Oh, my God. They were amazing points.
Okay, whatever. Let's get the final thoughts.
Okay. Final thoughts. One, everyone's in preseason form. You know, like us, the Kings, their three-point defense, and there's little things, sure, I want to see adjusted, but one thing that's not in preseason form, Golden One Center's crowd. Like, holy shit, Sacramento, you people are just amazing and make me so happy that a preseason game can sound like that. Truly.
That's well said. Yeah, it was fun to be back.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I was telling Morgan before the game, I wasn't like that juiced for the game. I'm just like, I am.
That upset me.
Well, I think, you know, Deuce is just at a different phase of his basketball journey right now. And that basketball journey is one that has expectations.
Oh,
and God. So when I have expectations, preseason to me is like, I'm glad it's here because it's a step closer to the real thing.
Uh-huh.
And I care about game one, October 24th, when Minnesota comes to town.
Copy that.
Because everyone's talking about, and everyone's talking about Minnesota. Look at what they did last year. And not many people are talking about the Kings. See, I'm getting juiced just talking about this game. And I'm ready for this 82-game grind. I'm ready for a first-round series and the reemergence of playoff Deuce to come back to the...
Someone else mentioned that, too, so...
The people need it.
Yep.
So, like, I'm not going to get juiced. But then, I got to be honest, right when they... Scott Moak's announcing the starting lineup, they announced DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the starting lineup and going... We got a squad.
Yeah, don't lie.
We got a squad that's going to win some goddamn games this year.
There you go.
And then, of course, DeMar comes out and doesn't miss a shot.
There you go.
Doesn't miss a shot.
Pretty fun. Now he's amped again.
Bring on Friday. Okay. Kings Warriors again. We'll be back live after that game to talk all about it. We'll be better, too.
Facts.
Do you feel like it's been a little sloppy tonight?
No, you know what? Just... like choppier where it's literally preseason. Like you come on after game and you're reacting. You're not reacting to, oh man, they won or lost. You're reacting to just kind of, hey, what you kind of saw, because it doesn't really matter. It's preseason.
Yeah.
But again, it's just me. I'm excited that this is here and that Kings basketball is here. So that's, I don't give a shit. It's preseason. I'm going to be here.
Well, we appreciate you guys for hanging out. Thanks so much for all the thumbs up. Shout out to the Super Chat. I think our guy John Mark dropped one. Let's give him a hell yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
Thank you.
Hell yeah to all of you. And know we'll be live this year after every single game. We love you guys, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.